namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
I was asked to give a title to this talk before I came here. And the title I gave is that Krishna puts everyone to sleep and is self-controlled. You might think, well, that's a very strange subject. Is it? Did you think like that? Yes. It's a strange subject? Okay, well, I'll tell you why I decided to speak on that. Because I've been going through Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, and I wanted to speak on two of the names from that, and name 466 in the edition that I'm following, the name is Svapana. So we have Svapana and Svapana, so one who puts everyone to sleep. And the next name is Svavasha, which means he's under his own control. But even then, and now I explained it, but still it might seem like a very strange name, puts everyone to sleep. Why would he put everyone to sleep? Rather, it seems that he comes to wake everyone up. The Vedic injunction is Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya Varanya Bodhata. Utish, get up, wake up, become aware of what you can achieve in this human form of life. So what does it mean that Krishna puts everyone to sleep or makes them dream? It's something like euthanasia. Do you all know what I think? You know what that word means, euthanasia? It means voluntarily dying. You choose to die, because it's a moral question in the Western countries at the present time. Some countries allow it; it's legal. If someone has a terminal illness, then rather suffer. They call a doctor, and the doctor gives them an injection, and it's finished. That's called assisted euthanasia. Well, that's one. Another idea of euthanasia is just, well, people are too old and they can't do anything, so better just kill them. But it's in the Western countries, it's gradually becoming accepted that it's okay. If they choose to die rather than live, especially if they're old and suffering, then a doctor can assist them. So it's something like that. Krishna puts people to sleep because they or we want to be. Krishna bhuli se jivan adi bahir mukh. Forgetting Krishna from time immemorial, we are inimical to Krishna. So we want to be in this situation. It's like being asleep. In this material world, it's like being asleep or like being in a dreamlike state. You say, well, it's not like asleep, is it? I can... Sometimes you may have had that experience, I'm sure you've all had it, that you have a vivid dream and then you wake up and you're still not sure whether the dream is real, and you look around and see, is this... And then you gradually comes, oh yeah, this is real, that was a dream. Sometimes the dream is so strong that you may be awake for some time and you or sometimes it happens in my memory that I think of something that happened in the past, but I'm not sure whether it actually happened or whether it was a dream. Do you have that? The memory of some dream becomes mixed up with so-called reality. Srila Prabhupada analyzed this, that our waking life is also like a dream, inasmuch as it's not totally unreal, but it's not substantially real. We say a dream, it doesn't really exist. But it does exist in some way, otherwise we wouldn't be able to remember. There's some mental impression. But we say it's a dream because it just lasts for a short time. But then life, we think this is reality. I'm living in Bengaluru and I whatever I do. Someone may be a rickshaw driver, someone may be a politician, someone may be a businessman, someone may be a professional thief, whatever they may do. They take this life to be reality, but it's just brief. It's very brief. And it's why we think that this life is real and a dream is not real is because there's one reason is it goes on longer and there's a continuity. But again, in a dream there's also some kind of continuity, but in this life it's just boom, 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 finished. We go from one body to another. So Krishna puts us in this situation because we want to forget him. That's why. Because we want it, not that he wants it. He comes and tries to wake us up. But if we don't want to wake up, then we'll remain asleep. Srila Prabhupada often gave that example, that it's very difficult to wake people who are pretending to be asleep. If someone's asleep, you can wake them up. It might be difficult, as in the case of Kumbhakarna. It was difficult to wake him up. It took a few elephants and walking on his body and this. But it was possible to wake him up. But if someone's pretending to be asleep, because they think, oh, someone's come to wake me up, okay, I'll pretend to be asleep, then they'll give up and go away, and then I'll actually go back to sleep again. So someone who's committed to not get up, then how can you wake them up? If they just don't want to get up, they stubbornly don't want to get up. So we're in that situation, forgetting Krishna. Why do we forget Krishna? Well, Krishna, he doesn't want us to, but if we insist, he'll give us that opportunity. You want to live in a dream? Okay, Krishna can provide it, this dream world. Of course, the pure devotees, they live in the same world, and they see everything the same that we see, but they see Krishna everywhere. They don't forget Krishna. So, for pure devotees, the same world they live in, but they're not living in a dream. The dream is forgetting Krishna. Sometimes people, they have some kind of realization that life is just like a dream. It has no reality. But then they conclude that everything is just a dream and there is no actual reality. They don't know Krishna. So then they want to be liberated and merge into some impersonal situation. But that's just going from one dream to another. Different kind of dream, that's all. So reality means to wake up to Krishna. And even literally, pure devotees, when they sleep, they don't sleep in the same way that we do. Sleeping is a condition of ignorance, tamoguna. But pure devotees of Krishna, in their sleep, they also see Krishna, think of Krishna. They never forget Krishna. Or they may not sleep at all because they're so enlivened by Krishna consciousness that they don't feel like sleeping at all. Just like if you're very excited, you don't feel like, you can't sleep. So pure devotees, they're so excited by Krishna. And it goes on. Usually you get excited about something and then it dies down after some time, whatever it is. Just like a newly married couple, they become very excited about each other. But then after some time it dies down. But with Krishna, it doesn't die, it gets more and more. So pure devotees, they nidrahara vihara kadi vijito. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they conquered over nidra, sleeping, eating, and all their activities. They were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Another reason that's described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, that Radharani can't sleep because in separation from Krishna, her eyes are always full of tears. And if there's water on your face, you can't sleep. That's why in class sometimes in the Western countries, the devotee giving class, they'd have this water spray that you use for flowers and vegetables in the market. These flower sellers, they sprinkle, so they have a spray and they'd squirt it. They see devotees falling asleep in the class. They'd squirt it. And if there's water on your face, you can't sleep. Well, some of our devotees have the mystic siddhi. They can sleep in any circumstance. But mostly you can't. So pure devotees, they are so absorbed in Krishna that they can't sleep. And for the non-devotees, they find Krishna consciousness uninteresting. Srila Prabhupada related once that some people say, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is very good. It's a very good cure for insomnia. It's soporific, to use the medical term. If you hear, you'll go to sleep. It shouldn't be like that. But there's some saying, Prabhupada said like that. Some atheistic people, they say like that. They have so little interest in Krishna consciousness, they think, well, hearing Bhagavatam is simply so uninteresting that we'll be sleepy. So, Bhagavan puts us to sleep because we want to sleep, we want to dream, we want to be an illusion. We want to think, I'm a king, or I'm a big businessman, or if I'm not, we may daydream about that. We like to dream. So Krishna fulfills the dream. Not all the time, because you can't have so many kings. If there are many kings, then no one's a king. So time to time, everyone gets their turn. One time, someone becomes a prime minister, and then someone else, they may become the sarpanch in a village. Someone may, in the pack of dogs, they can be the chief dog. So people have their desires fulfilled. The dreamlike state of, now I'm very powerful and prestigious. You see the dog in the pack of dogs, the one dog is the top dog, and he knows it. He feels, yes, my prestige, I'm on top here. All the other dogs, they're afraid of me. It's ridiculous, because the jiva is supposed to be full of bliss in the spiritual world with Krishna. But if we insistently don't want that, then Krishna will put us in a situation, because we want it, he'll put us in a situation where we can dream of being something that we're not. You may say, well, why doesn't Krishna just force us to wake up? Because Krishna gives us some independence. Otherwise, there's no possibility to love him. Loving Krishna means you have to choose. If you can't force someone to love you. You can make robots. Now they're making so many robots to work in factories and so many things. So you can't program a robot to love you. There's no emotion in a robot. You can simulate emotion, but actual feeling comes from the soul. So if from the Atma. So if we don't love Krishna, then we're not fit to be, and we don't even want to be in the spiritual world. So Krishna arranges for that situation where we can think, I'm independent from Krishna. I'm doing everything myself. Another example is something like sleepwalking. People are walking, talking, but they're asleep. They're dreaming and walking at the same time. Or zombies, there's some idea of zombies. Dead bodies that are walking, but they're actually they're dead and some ghost or something like this. So in this material existence, we're like that. We think that we're in a dreamlike state, but we think I'm in control. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. Being bewildered by the modes of nature, we think that, well, I'm doing everything, but we don't realize how much we're controlled. We do have little independence, but we're very much controlled. And those who hear these topics of self-realization, they should understand this more and more. As they get older, one reason because they're hearing it more and more, and also because in youth the body is strong and healthy generally, although nowadays many young people, due to the modern way of life, they're not strong or healthy. But generally the young body is healthy, and then gradually it declines. As all of us here can, with the exception of the younger people, but you can see the body and feel it deteriorating all around you, just like you're selling badminton rackets. Is it? You're still doing that business? So I used to play badminton in my youth. I couldn't imagine doing it now. Even in those days, one set of badminton, I just couldn't do it. I just don't have the... It's a very high energy sport. Intense energy. I just don't have that energy now. It's gone. You can feel the body is declining all around you. So one should become wise as he becomes old. If you hear these topics, one should realize, oh, I'm not the body. The body is declining. This is Krishna's warning that the body's declining. Boom! One day it's going to fall down and not get up again. So we should prepare ourselves for that. Turnam yateta napatet anumritya yavan. One should prepare oneself for this. One should wake up by hearing the messages of the Gita and Bhagavatam and come out of the sleep. Come to Krishna. Relate to Krishna as our Savior. Then in the Christian religion they emphasize this a lot, isn't it? Jesus saves us. He's the Savior. So we relate to Krishna as the one who lifts us up and wakes us up. Otherwise, if we want to be asleep, then we can sleep. But it's not a very good situation, because this dreamlike state, it's actually like an ongoing nightmare. And there's so much suffering in material life. Everyone can experience it. If we're honest, we have to say that actually, even if, which is increasingly rare in the modern age, we have good friends, good family, but even then, just to live in the modern world and to relate with others, very, very difficult. In big cities, increasingly people are becoming like savages. Bangalore used to be well known as a very civilized and cultured city, but that's gone because of progress. So, isn't it? Now there's so much progress, but there's no peace. People are not happy. Several times I drove into Bangalore from Salem, leaving early in the morning, and arriving in South Bangalore just at the time when people are going to work. And you can see the look on the face. It's just the same in the Western countries. Even before they go to work, at the beginning of the day, their face is completely drained of any life or enthusiasm. You can see they're going to work, but it's just a grind. There's no pleasure, there's no happiness. And everyone looks like that. So, better to wake up from this nightmare. Utishta, Jagrata, wake up, get up. Come to Krishna. We embrace Krishna in his beautiful form, Dvibhuj, Muralidha, two-armed form holding a flute, not in his form of time, which destroys our dream again and again and again and again and again. Dream, it's not really, it has some reality, but it's not really real, but we take it to be fully real. And that's another reason we suffer, because we make relationships within this dream, and then the relationship is broken, either by death of one or both partners, or one partner we trusted and they cheat us, or our attitudes change, or by separation, by distance. So this is a very important point to understand. This life is full of suffering. We don't have to live in this nightmare-like existence. Wake up and come to Krishna. Different commentators have commented on this. Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he explains this in terms of Mohini Avatar, who bewildered the Asuras. Even though they were awake and they saw her take the Amrita and give to the demigods, they were as if sleeping. It was very stupid of them, actually. She said, I'll distribute to you both, but I'll just give it to them first. So in this way she bewildered them with her beautiful smile and her sweet glances and her eyebrows. And in this way, she made them forget that, or she lulled them. Sometimes we say that, to lull someone, it means to put them in a dull state of consciousness, to make them think that everything's all right when it's not. Then another commentator says that he puts everyone to sleep at the time of the pralayam, at the time of the destruction of the universe, then all the living beings enter into his body and they're in a sleep-like state, even though he's awake. So in this way also, he puts them to sleep. Another commentator, he quotes Gita, Nahang Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita Murho Yang Abhijanati. So Krishna says, I'm not revealed to everyone. They may be waking but asleep, covered by his Maya potency. So many people saw Krishna when he was personally present, but it was as if they are asleep. Pishachi paile jena mati channa hoy maya grasta jive hoy she bhavudoy. When we're caught by maya, it's as if we are haunted by a ghost, and therefore we become like a crazy person. Just like sometimes you may have seen a crazy person, or what we'd call a ghostly haunted person, a child may not recognize their mother and father and may attack them because so in the same way, have you seen that? You've all seen people like that? No, you haven't seen. Well, when we travel around and preach Krishna consciousness, we meet all kinds of people. I've seen in Malaysia one time, a child was just like vicious and would especially attack his parents, just 8 years old. So it's like that. People would personally see Krishna. Duryodhana personally saw Krishna. Dhritarashtra saw Krishna. Is that right? He was blind. Did he see Krishna? Once only. By special request, he got to see Krishna. But he wasn't so attracted to see Krishna in his original form, but he liked to see him in his expanded form, when Krishna showed so many forms to bewilder Duryodhana. So they saw Krishna, and constitutionally everyone has an intimate relationship with Krishna, but they denied it. They didn't want to accept. They're in that dull consciousness, as if asleep. They're attached to being in the dream. I don't want to wake up. Duryodhana could have fallen at the feet of Krishna and the Pandavas. If he had fallen at the feet of Krishna, Krishna would say, okay, but if you really want my mercy, you have to go and fall at the feet of the Pandavas because you offended them. But he wouldn't do that because he's attached to the dream that I am the king. And these people, this Krishna and the Pandavas, they're just interfering. Why don't they just go away? Why don't they just kill them, get them out of the way? Otherwise, if it wasn't for them, from Duryodhana's point of view, these few people, they're making so much disturbance. I can rule the kingdom, I don't need them. They're just causing so much. Of course, he could have given them half the kingdom, and the Pandavas are so good, they wouldn't have disturbed him. But he wouldn't accept that. He wanted to rule without any rival. Actually, he should have submitted to them because they're people of better character than he. But he insisted on being in the dreamlike state. And even Vidur, Bhishma, they tried to give him good counsel, Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, but they wouldn't listen. They insisted on being in the dream. So what can you do? As the English saying goes, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You see, they think the horse should drink some water. But if he's stubborn, you can forcefully drag the horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink the water. So if he doesn't want to take it, then what can you do? He has that much independence. So we should wake up. So there are two different ways Krishna bewilders. One is by his charm, his beauty. That's spiritual bewilderment. It's described, the gopis, they would run to Krishna. They didn't have time to dress properly. They're so bewildered. They'd put their upper garments on their lower body and the lower garments on the upper body. So they were bewildered by Krishna. So swapana means he bewilders the devotees, and he bewilders the non-devotees in a different way. He bewilders the devotees in a very pleasing way. Everyone's in Maya. The devotees are also in Maya, but that's spiritual, yoga Maya, by which they become. That's beyond illusion, is another kind of illusion, the madness of Krishna consciousness. Can I get the Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9? I've got a reference here that I want to see that. Oh. Can you get that? I just want to read one verse from that. Then, Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gauriya Vaishnav commentator, he gives the how Krishna is svapana. He makes Balaram go to sleep. Sometimes when Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys are out in the forest playing, so sometimes they become tired in midday, and Krishna, as the younger brother, they want to rest, so Krishna massages Balaram's feet and in this way makes him fall asleep. So that's a very nice explanation, is it not? He literally makes Balaram fall asleep out of his affection he's playing the role of a younger brother. So we learn that also, especially from Ramayana, how the younger brothers were so respectful to the elder brother. That culture's not there anymore. Used to be there. They treat him just like a father, just like a guru. So let's see if there's anything else while you're... No, that's on Svapana. Okay, I'm just waiting for that book to come. Did you get that? Did you find that? Just I've got a reference here to look for that. Yeah, Krishna is the master of Maya. So in this way, Maya makes everyone sleep. Jivjago, Jivjago, Gaurachandra bale koto nidra jao Maya pishachira kole. Everyone is sleeping on the lap of Maya, which is something like a witch. Oh, this reference is actually for the next name. Okay, the next name is Svavash. Sva means own, and Vash means control. You all know that word, huh? It must be in Canada also. And from that come other words like Vashibhut, Avasham, Avashakta, words like that. So it means under the control. So Krishna is Svavash, he's under his own control. It means he's not controlled by anyone else. It means he's independent. He doesn't depend on anyone else. There are so many examples of this. He gives birth to Brahma without having to engage his wife. So Brahma is sometimes called Atmabhu. He's born just like that, by himself. So Svavash, there are various meanings. He's under his own control. This is also important because that same idea, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartahamiti Manyate. Everyone thinks, I'm in control. But everyone is controlled by Krishna's energies. But Krishna is not controlled by his energies. So you see how the names relate. In a dream, in our dreamlike condition, we think, I'm in control of everything. But we're not. Krishna's in control of everything. Now someone can become self-realized by controlling his mind and senses. That's required for self-realization. But still for that self-realization, we're dependent upon Krishna. Even to control the mind and senses is very, very difficult because Maya is very powerful. Daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. Maya is so powerful, very, very difficult to come out of, even if we practice meditation and austerities. But mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. One can easily come out of Maya if we surrender to Krishna, if Krishna helps us. So we're dependent upon Krishna, but Krishna is constitutionally not dependent upon anyone else. There are so many ways in which this can be understood. He's under his own control. Now, one way we're not in control of ourselves, there are many ways. One way is that we don't choose how we're born, where we're born, what circumstances we're born in. Almost everyone, if you could redesign our bodies, we'd make some adjustments, isn't it? People do that also. They go for plastic surgery to try to, and then some, they go to the gym to try and get a very strong body, bursting muscles and all this kind of thing. But Krishna, sambhavami atma mayaya, he appears according to his own desire, by his own mercy, and he can take all kinds of forms. His original form is Krishna. People may ask, well, why does he appear in the form of a pig? Well, he likes to. Well, why should he like to? That's up to him. He doesn't have to answer to you. He doesn't have to come and beg you, could you allow me to take the form of Vamana Avatar? Okay. Oh, thank you very much. He doesn't have to ask anyone. He does what he likes. He comes in the form of a half lion, half man. He can assume any kind of form he likes, and he does. And he doesn't have to ask permission from anyone. That's Krishna. We can't do that. We can dress up. Sometimes we do dramas and we dress someone up as Nrsimha. But they're not really Nrsimha, Dave. In a drama we can think this is Nrsimha, but the real Nrsimha is not a jiva dressed as Nrsimha. He takes that form because he's under his own control, all his energies are under his control. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuryate swabhaviki gyanak palam kriyacha. All he has so many energies, and they're all under his control. He has his Icha Shakti, by which any desire is automatically fulfilled. Kriya Shakti, by which everything moves and is active. Jnana Shakti, by which we can understand. Modern psychologists, they'll try to study, how is it that we know anything? What is this phenomenon of knowledge? That's Krishna's Jnana Shakti, very easily answered. If you try to answer it in terms of neurons in the brain, and it's impossible. You can't understand. But if we understand Krishna, everything is his energies, and all the energies are under his control. And he's under his own control. The Ramanuja Sampradaya commentator, he gives the idea that the asuras, they're in a sleep-like condition. But Krishna, this is mixing the name of Swapana and Shvavash. So they're in a sleep-like condition, and then he plays as he likes with his devotees. It's going on side by side. When Krishna comes to this world, his leela is going on, and side by side, the demons are going on with their foolish activities, as in a sleep-like state. They can't recognize Krishna. So he's under his own control. He doesn't need anyone's help or support for anything that he does. He's under his own control. Everything, it means he himself is under his own control, and everything also is under his control. So he's independent. Another thing is there's nothing that he can't do. He can do everything that he likes. And whatever desires he has, he can fulfill by himself. So even in our own life, if we can achieve some level of independence, if we're dependent upon Krishna. If we place either we're dependent on others, or we can depend upon Krishna. Of course, we should depend on Krishna's devotees also. When we're under the control of our mind, we lose our independence. We're washed here and there, washed away here and there. But if we place our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, we also don't have independence, but we're independent from the batterings of Maya. So better to be dependent on Krishna rather than be dependent on anything else. So we're discussing these names. We should consider all these points, that why we should worship Krishna. Because Krishna is that one person who is unique, inasmuch he's completely independent, completely powerful, and completely able to help us also to come out of this dreamlike state in which we think I'm in control, I can do whatever I like, but actually we are controlled by the modes of nature. So he's Shvavash, means he's under his own control, he's independent, and Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning, he's supremely independent, and he gives an example that he taught the Rajavasis also to, he took an independent line of thought, because Nanda Maharaj was arranging for worshipping Indra, and Krishna said, no, worship Govardhan Hill. He convinced them. So by his own wish, he was able to convince them to not be under the control of Indra. And then instead they worship Govardhan, who is non-different from him. So everyone, there may be very powerful people in this world, but they're all under the control of Krishna. And Krishna is under his own control. He controls himself. So that's true, of course, otherwise the name wouldn't be there in the Vishnu Sahasranama. But, there's another consideration also. All right, let's read this. This is from the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it's described that Mother Yashoda binds Krishna. He comes under her control. So, Svamatu Svinagatraya Visrasta Kabarasra Jaha Drishtva Parishramam Krishna Kripayasit Svabandhane. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, she was working hard, running here and there, trying to get ropes to bind Krishna. She couldn't bind him. Running back and forward. Because of her hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Please turn off your cell phones. So Krishna, he becomes bound by his devotee, but he agreed to. Oh, my devotee is trying to bind me up. Now comes the next verse. Evang sandarshita hyanga harina bhritya vashyata svaveshenapi krishnena yasyedam sheshvaram vashe. So in this verse, the word vash, comes three times, including Svavash. Svavashenapi. Even though he is Svavash, he's under his own control, he demonstrates his Brityavashyata, that he becomes under the control of his devotees. Shukdev Goswami describes, speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So, similarly, elsewhere. So, Britya, his name is Svavash. So that's Krishna, he's under his own control. But he becomes obliged by the love of his devotees, by which he comes under their control. We may say that he just does that, he likes to do that. But Krishna, it's as if he's obliged to, because he reciprocates with his devotees. Again this term, Brityavasya. Brityavasya comes again in just two chapters later. Atmano Brityavasyatam. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees. So Krishna is under his own control, but he comes under the control of his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Rajavasis by his childhood activities. So this is very sweet, how Krishna, he is controlling everyone, but as a child he becomes controlled by his parents to some extent. They couldn't completely control him, especially when he went for stealing butter. But he would act as if he's dependent upon Yashoda Mai. Why did he become angry and she wanted to and break the butter pot and then she tied him up? Because he was angry with her because she was feeding him her breast milk and then she went away. And Krishna, as if he's dependent upon her feeding him, even though he feeds the whole universe, as if he's dependent upon her feeding, he became angry. In this way he showed that, no, you should feed me. So this is, now there's a very nice purport in that verse we just read, Evang Sandarshitang Hyanga. I'll read the whole purport. How Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Dashayang tadvidang loka atmano bhaktavashyatam. Yeah, that's from the verse. The Lord displays this transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Ekopya saurachi yatung jagadanda ko ting yat chakti rasti jagadanda chayaya dantaha andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods, yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. It's very embarrassing for Yashoda Mai. He's going and stealing butter, and then, oh, you're not feeding him? He's coming and he's starving? You're not feeding him. Or they may think that, oh, her butter's not as good as ours. That's why he's coming. So they become happy. Oh, our butter is better. Krishna's coming and stealing it. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee, but a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This Britya Vashyata, being under the control. Britya, this is a word which means servant. There are different words for servant. Das, Sevak, Kinkara, Anuchara, Britya. Britya specifically means one who is maintained by someone else. They're all different words. They all have it. Kinkara means Kimkara, what should I do? Anuchara means one who follows behind. So they all have different meanings. So actually Krishna is maintaining everyone, but he takes the position as if he's maintained by others. You like to come inside? Please come. This Britya Vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. Speaking philosophically here. Because he's still God. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapya Mechuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is one's ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of ananda chinmaya rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. So while discussing Svavasha, how Krishna is under his own control, and now we're discussing how Krishna is under the control of his devotees, which appears to be contradictory, but everything's possible in Krishna. I'll just read next couple of verses, as they're very blissful. Shukdev Goswami describing the glory of Mother Yashoda. Neimam varincho nabhavo nashvirapyanga sangshaya prasadang lebhire gopi yattat prapavimuktidat. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva nor even the goddess of fortune Lakshmi, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received my Mother Yashoda. The mercy she had that she was able to tie him up. He agreed by her love to be tied up. The next verse. Nayang sukhapo bhagavan dehinang gopika sutaha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yatha bhakti matamiha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Sometimes people say that they want to become one with God. But Prabhupada would say, you can become more than God. If we love Him so much, then He'll agree to be submissive to our love. Of course, a devotee doesn't think like that. I will become more than God. If we think like that, that's demoniac. But actually, Krishna agrees to come under the control of his devotee, but still the devotee constitutionally remains a servant of Krishna. So these are some subtle points of Vaishnava understanding, and also very, apart from the philosophical aspect, it's also very pleasing to hear. how Krishna is so very great, so powerful, that he controls everything and everyone, but he agrees to come under the control of his devotees. So hearing about this should increase our faith in Krishna as being all-powerful, and also our faith that he is also all-loving, all-sweet, all-kind. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there unless there are any questions about this. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Do we have any books here? Did we bring my books? Yeah. Yeah, who's that? Yes, please.
The difference between awakening sleep and sleeping dream and awakening dream.
What's the difference between a waking dream and a sleeping dream? Sleeping dream means it goes on for a few minutes. Waking dream means it goes on for one so-called lifetime. There are important differences also, because in the human dream means it has some level of reality, but it's not vastavik. There's nothing really, there's not substantial. But the one thing is that, well, even in the waking state, one can make some decisions also. That's sometimes possible in the sleeping state also, in the dreaming state. In the dream, sometimes I've had this experience, I'm in a dream, and I think, what is all this nonsense? I'm supposed to be a devotee, but I'm dreaming of something, nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, maybe from my so-called life before. What is all this? What is all this nonsense? And then we can decide to come out of that dream. So in the human form of life, the consciousness is a bit awake. It's something like being, or the possibility is there to be half asleep and half awake, and to be wakened up to our real life, which is our spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. Better cut that with a knife, so you don't make a noise. So that possibility is there. In the waking state, if we hear good knowledge, we can be wakened up to our real spiritual position. Just like in the sleeping state, we can be wakened from a dream if someone calls to us. So if someone calls to us, Utishta, Jagrata, wake up to your real spiritual existence, then we can gradually come out of that dream and understand that I'm not this body, I have nothing to do with this world, my real existence is in the spiritual state of being a servant of Krishna. Otherwise, if we don't have Krishna consciousness, there's really, substantially, not much difference. It's just different phases of illusion. Well, yeah, again, in the human form of life, in this illusion, we make new karma fall. If we do something good, then we produce good karmas for the future. If we do something bad, we make bad karma fall for the future. So in that way, but it's still all illusion. Whether you go to Swarga or Narak, it has no ultimate reality. So it's an extended dream. Do you feel like that sometimes? What is all this world all around me? Actually, we should feel like that all the time. What relationship do I have with all of this? It's prapanchik. It's just here today, gone tomorrow. We should feel like that. That's a fact. We have no real relationship with anything or anyone around us, except if we make that relationship with devotees of Krishna, then that becomes established on the spiritual platform. Then it's atma to atma relationship, not mind to mind or ego to ego. Relationships in this material world means it's different egos interacting with each other. I am in the illusion that I am a businessman and I live in Bangalore and this is my wife and these are my children. And someone else has the illusion, this is my husband, these are our children. So it's different egos interact, different illusions interacting with each other. But when we come to the spiritual platform of understanding that we're all servants of Krishna, then we relate with each other on the spiritual platform. So that's not a dream. That's at least the beginning, the waking up of reality. Hare Krishna. So thank you for coming and spending your Saturday night to hear these topics. Now the Western culture is very strong, so people, they like to go to restaurants, pubs, parties, or sit and watch TV, but you've come to hear something about Krishna, so that's good. That's very nice. That's purifying. Everything else is degrading. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so we'd like to just present. We have these books.
We have many books which Maharaj has written. And we also have series which have lectures. We have Prabhupada lectures and also Maharaj. There are a lot of books here which are very important for all of us. So there's women, mothers and masters. Mothers
oh, you still, you have some, alright, you have some copies of that.
Women, masters and mothers.
So you can just make a note, I spoke on this name.
Actual position of women and how, and there is something for Brahma and Mandana.
466 and 467. This should be turned off now.
Which helps us understand, who's supreme and what is the question of the new gods. Then there is a collection of Anshir Prabhupada that Maharaj has written his collections of thought. And there is a...
Just one thing. Have any of you seen my books before? Many of you have seen them or not? Is it? Many of you have seen. Maybe we should just introduce the newer books. Yeah, that Women, Masters or Mothers, yeah. That's... highly controversial book. Mostly the Indian devotees like it and the Western devotees don't like it. It's a clash of cultures. Indian devotees can understand. Even the Western, even though they're devotees, many of them they can't understand it.
It's the latest,
Okay, that's... the thing is, I'm saying the more recent ones because I think many of you may have some of the older books that I wrote. So this is a new one. This is collected writings, and I'm actually surprised how devotees are appreciating this because it's just all bits and pieces, but it's interesting things. What do you think? Did you read it? Oh, you didn't, right, it was released in Somnath and it hasn't, I didn't have it last time I was here, which wasn't very long ago. This was written in Bangalore, right?
Yeah.
Now he's gone to Ahmedabad, but I asked this one disciple of mine, Damodar Nityananda, you write a book about Muslim devotees of Krishna. So he did. That's something interesting, isn't it? There have been so many. Actually, there are so many nowadays also, but... And he researched for that, but we didn't publish that because different devotees thought it was a bit dangerous to publish how ISKCON is making so many Muslims into devotees. They thought it might be dangerous. Actually, one disciple of mine, some of you may know him, he came sometimes here, Murari. His name at his passport name is Mohammed Sulaiman. So he told me, he just sent an email, that his father just arrived in Delhi airport, and his father's name is also Mohammed Sulaiman. So they asked him, where will you stay in Delhi? He's a citizen of Tanzania, I think. One of those East European, East African countries. So he said, I'll stay at the Delhi temple. And they said, Muhammad, Sulaiman? They became suspicious. What is it? So then he pulled out his life membership card, ISKCON life member. And then the man, he became very surprised, and he showed it to all the other officers. You see, Muslim is an ISKCON life member. So actually, yeah, so there are many stories here of Muslim devotees of Krishna. Yeah, so many books are there. Ramayana is an old favorite. Do we have that? Chaitanya, yeah, Ramayana is very nice for the children also. She's reading in Kannada? Can she? Ah, you should teach her Kannada. You made this book? So much effort. Now you teach daughter to read Kannada. It's important, isn't it? Otherwise, yeah. In Karnataka, people are very afraid their whole language is going to be lost. But these languages are better for bhakti. Yeah, all the words that you need for bhakti, they're all in the Indian languages. In the English language, it's not there. So better you keep these languages alive. I'm speaking in English, but the last, how long? 2 weeks? All my lectures have been in Hindi. Which is also not such a good... Karna is better. There's a lot more Sanskrit in it. Hindi is all Urdu nowadays. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Gaur Purnima is coming up. So if you don't have this book, please read it before Gaur Purnima. Maybe I should also. It's a summary of the very charming pastimes of the golden avatar. So this is also required in Kannada language. Yeah. So that would be very nice to distribute. People don't know much. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should distribute. Yeah, Ramayana. But I think many of you have this, Ramayana, English. Or now it's available in Kannada also. That you know. Well, everyone here must know. So anyway, there are so many books. If you like, you can take. Please take. Read. Instead of going to... I know you don't go to parties and pubs. At least I hope you don't. But better than that is read this spiritual literature. Enrich your life. Enrich, become rich. They like that. I said in Bhopal, when I said that, the devotees like that, I said, with 6,000 rupees, you can become richer than Mukesh Ambani. That means take one Srimad Bhagavatam set. It's really, the English word rich means not just money, but it means when something's very full and substantial and... Even food, we say, is very rich. If it's got lots of ghee, we say it's very, very heavy food. So, Bhagavatam is very rich. Then you feel, so special. There's nothing like it. So, please take these books also. Hare Krishna. And I can sign them if you like. Also. Yeah, yeah. 466, 467. 467. So another 533 names to go through the whole of Vishnu Sahasranama. So please bless me with long life and good intelligence, so I can go on speaking about this and keep on coming and listening, so I can get more enthusiasm when I see that you also like to hear, so then I also like to speak what Prabhupada has taught me. So, Hare Krishna. Did we show all the new books?
Yes.
No, the new
ones. Okay. But put them on the table is better.
Yeah.
Patropadish, that's been out for about 1 year. Maybe they haven't seen it. Yeah, this is also a surprisingly popular book because it's excerpts from my correspondence, but because it lots of practical directions. Devotees ask questions and I give answers, so it's become quite popular. Practical problems that devotees face in practicing Krishna consciousness are addressed in here. So please get it, better to put it on the table. And I think we should finish because it's getting a bit late. I was talking about putting to sleep. So it is getting, for our, of course, for the young IT worker, what are they, call center workers, it's beginning of Saturday night. But for us, it's time to go to sleep.